cross. You know, the fact that from the drama we saw today, that was Simon of Cyrene who carried Jesus' cross at that time, and it appears in three of the four Gospels. Here's an example. It's from Mark 15:21. It says, a passerby named Simon, Kellen, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. And so that's it. That's all we know about this guy. We don't really know if he ran away, if he had a conversation with his wife afterwards, or what he did. But what we saw dramatized, again, was not something we really know about or what happened. But what I liked about that drama and was kind of the question at the end is, I don't know, the eyes, the way he looked at me, it was like he was some sort of sacrifice or something. In another version of this drama, it says, why did he die? I don't understand why that happened. And that really is the question. Why did he die? If he was so special, such a great person, or just a really nice prophet, why did he die? The Hebrews were waiting for their Messiah to rid them of those Romans, right? As Emily said, Romans, I hate those Romans. He was coming to set up a new kingdom. He didn't appear to do that. He did miracles and wonders, as they mentioned in the drama. He was special, but then they killed him, and that's why. That's what we're celebrating, really. That's the Good Friday part. And what I think is interesting about Simon, I was thinking about what's kind of different about him. And, you know, he's a very short interface as far as with Jesus. We know very little about him. But one of the things I was thinking of is, what if that was me having to carry the cross? What if I'm kind of standing there, wow, this is a spectacle. You know, this is really weird. I just hope no one asks me to do anything, right? And sure enough, those mean old Romans, they make him carry Jesus' cross. And we were talking about this earlier with the guys, and particularly it became very important to us when we had to carry this cross from there to over here. And this thing is heavy. It took four of us to carry it. And I don't think this is too different from the weight that Jesus had to carry, or Simon had to carry. This is probably around 350 pounds is what we guessed. And different scholars will say that's about the weight of the cross that Jesus carried. That is a lot of weight. Just carrying 100 pounds is a lot of weight. If you ever carry those salt bags, which is about 50 pounds a piece, imagine that's 6-7 of those. So on your back, and you've already been beaten and scourged and insulted, you're dehydrated, you're bleeding, and you're asked to carry one of those. And one of the things that's interesting about the drama that we saw today too is that caught my attention was that if we look at Simon, if let's say we were asked to carry that cross, but we didn't have to go and actually be crucified on it, we kind of walk away, in a sense. And it's as if we were the ones that were supposed to carry it in our own lives, we get to walk away. And Jesus is the one that actually has to go up on the cross. We deserved to be there. And here's a couple things, a couple verses I wanted to just share with you is, why did he have to die? Well, one of them is there was a penalty to be paid. And why is there a penalty? And, well, God is really, really good. Most people would say, well, if I met God, I know that he's really good. He's really compassionate. I know he's a good guy, and that we're not, but I'm a pretty good person. There's a verse that says, his ways are not my ways. And a verse that's often quoted It says, thine eyes cannot approve evil, and thou canst not look on wickedness with favor. That's from Habakkuk 1:13. That's one of those prophets that they were talking about earlier. But because he is so perfect and we're not, he's also perfect in love. And that part of it is really what always, I guess, really affects me about Jesus, is that he takes on the penalty. Like that video that Dean was showing us last time, was that he gets on the scale. When it comes time for my good and my bad to be weighed, I'm the one that should be going on the scale, and I'm not. I'm not the one that ends up having to go up. Jesus takes the scale, and it goes to ding, ding, ding. It goes to good. If I were to go there, it doesn't matter how much good stuff I've done versus how many bad things I've done. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. A couple of verses I want to talk about just that show that Christ died for our sins. So it's 1 Peter 3:18 said, for Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, that's on the cross, but made alive in the spirit. Another verse from Hebrews 10:10 says, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I'll tell you a little story. One of the things that was before I was a Christian, when I was much, much younger, I remembered that I never liked Easter. I never liked Good Friday in particular. And I'm not kidding about this. This is real. Is that I always hated it because always we had to watch The Greatest Story Ever Told, which didn't like, because most movies, what I like to see is a happy ending. And in The Greatest Story Ever Told, there is kind of a happy ending there, but I didn't like it that the hero didn't come back and beat up all the Pharisees or something, like normal good movies, like Walt Disney films, where there's always the bad people lose and the good people win, right? And this in The Greatest Story Ever Told, which is a very good movie, but the resurrection part is pretty fast. It kind of goes to the end, and Jesus is more of a cloud figure. They don't actually go through the actual appearances of Christ to the various disciples. And I always thought, gosh, it's such a sad story. I hope this time when we watch it, I remember thinking, I was maybe 6 or 7, I hope this time Jesus wins. I hope that he gets them, that kind of thing. I wasn't thinking like with guns or get them all and they're bad and everything like that, like we think of adventure films or action films, but that somehow that wouldn't happen to him, because that was like a wrong thing that happened to him. And it really affected me, because it seemed like this is wrong that Jesus was killed. It was more like a tragedy. It's a tragedy that Jesus went to the cross, and it seems that way. And particularly when I was that young, I was thinking, this is just wrong. It seems so sad. Why are we celebrating this? And I would ask that. I remember asking my parents, is God angry that we made this film or this movie? Is this okay? Do you think, oh, yes, it's very good. It's very honoring to Jesus. It seems so sad. I remember feeling that way or thinking that way. And as I grew up at that time, I wasn't really a Christian, and I didn't know anything about Jesus, other than he seemed to be a sad figure in history. And someone basically shared with me, he says, no, there's another part of this story, which Sunday we'll get to even more, but there's this part where Jesus rises from the dead and proves that he's God, and shows that he's king, and shows that he paid for it all, and I could have a relationship with him. That was the part, because I was always interested in God, but I never really knew I could have a close, personal relationship with him. I was watching a YouTube video about a Muslim man, and one of the things he said was that he said that when he was young, he really wanted to know God, and I think I was I could understand that. I really wanted to know God, and he seemed so aloof. You know, he was far away. He was in the clouds, kind of the way the greatest story ever told shows us, like Jesus is far away, or he's in a painting, right? And he's not that. And for this young man, he felt like Allah was words. We would read the words, and we would read the words, and the more you read the words, the more credit you get. And the more that you do, and the more good things you do to read the words, that makes you a good person, and that means you're getting credit, just kind of like you're tallying up in your ATM fund. And that's not the way it is, but it's very impersonal, kind of like trying to have a relationship with your bank. You can't have that. So what he came to, eventually someone gave him a Bible. He didn't like it initially, but then he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. He had the gospel shared with him. He actually, in his life, he had what he felt was Jesus said, he asked him, "Did you really pay for my sins? Did you really pay for my sins? Is your blood cover me?" That was a question I had. Does your blood really cover my stuff? Do you care about me that much? And the answer was yes. The second thing he showed him was that he sits on the throne because of that. He is king. He is Lord of all. And whether we like it or not, that's kind of the way it is. It's up to us to accept that into our heart, to accept that payment. Otherwise, we can be king in our own world. We can be sitting on the throne, but then we're responsible for that payment. Last thing I kind of want to talk about was we do have a need. And I was thinking of the verse that says, it's Romans 3:23. It says, "The wages of sin is death." And if you ended right there, that would be pretty depressing. You know, the wages of sin is death. Have a nice day. You know, be warm and be filled. But there's a second half of that verse that says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." And that is the good part. That's the happy ending I was looking for in so long ago. But without that payment, we are separate. I have a quote here from a guy named John Stott. He says, "Before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see it as something done by us." And I was really affected by that. And that's, we're actually going to have a little bit of an exercise here, and I want to make sure I end on time. Though, since we haven't done this in so long, we're not sure what that is. And I'm going to ask for my boys to help me. They're shocked now because I forgot to ask them about this. This is very simple. It won't be embarrassing or anything, okay? So if you could, there's some cards and pencils here. If you could pass those out for me, please, and do it in an orderly fashion. And the reason... Some people say, well, Jesus was a great guy, and he went to the cross because he messed up or he ticked everybody off. And the reason that he went was for us, but we sent him there. It is our sin that caused that. It is our iniquities that caused that. It is, in a sense, if the lifeguard wouldn't have to come rescue us if we weren't the ones that jumped into the pool. We made that happen. And I was going to quote from 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "For I delivered to you as of the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to Scriptures. And all of that comes to the happy ending. Even though we caused it, he, in a sense, fixes it. And one of the exercises we're going to do right now, and I was going to ask Robin maybe to come up and play some songs for us, but I'll show it to you first, is these cards that are being passed out. You do not have to do this, by the way, but we have found this is very helpful. This kind of demonstrates it very well, is that on this card, I wrote down some things that I've done wrong, and there certainly isn't enough room. I kind of had to, you know, if I really wanted to do this, I'd need, you know, like a book or maybe something longer, like a 18 gigabyte file. And so, but it, what it represents, and you can write on here letters or pictures or whatever you want, or, you know, we're not going to open these up and read, whoa, what did Timmy do? Let's find out. You know, that's not what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is, and I'll demonstrate here, is I've written some things on here, and you can write whatever you like, that maybe you're ashamed of or that you wish you hadn't done. And then I would fold it in half like this. And this is what caused Jesus to go to the cross, one of them. And so what we'll do is then we'll kind of come up here, and maybe you've seen this before. And there are several hammers here to choose. Some are for, you know, big guys. And then this is for the children. So this is for the little ones. So if you want to help them, again, you don't have to do this, but maybe just while people are coming up here, just kind of come up here, grab, and there's the nails are here, and you know, you don't have to drive the thing all the way through, but just I'm going to just demonstrate. When the music kind of plays. So what I'd like to invite us to is, and I'm going to pray right now, and then we'll kind of start. You kind of think about something you want to write out there, and you can come up whenever you're ready, but we're going to pray a little bit. And if you would like to receive Christ in your heart right now, let's say, you know what, Greg, I don't know if I've really put my sins before Christ, if I've really accepted his salvation. And what I'm going to do is just, why don't you pray with me? I'm going to pray, and if you'd like to do that, you could pray with me. And then what I'd like to do is we're going to kind of just sit and meditate and think about what Christ has done for us. And really this part of it, this is the part where he has spilt his blood for us. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Your blood was spilt for me. I am a sinner, and I put you there. I did things contrary to your love, to your will, to your law, to your kindness, to your goodness, to your gentleness. I rebelled. I wanted my way. I wanted things my way, and it never works that way. And I don't want it my way anymore. My way stinks. Doesn't work. It has never worked. It never will work. And only your way works. And I accept that into my heart. I accept you, Lord Jesus, into my heart, knowing that I cast my sins on the cross, because that's where they were paid for. And I invite you into my life right now. I ask that you would change me, show me your ways, make me your Lord, and make me a new person. I thank you so much for doing that for me. And I ask you to build into me a relationship with you, with God, with the Holy Spirit and the people in this church or the church universal around the world. And I pray that in your name. Amen. So Rama's going to play some songs, and when you're ready, you can come on up. And after that, about 8:30, we'll have the music. You know, after a little while, then we'll have the music team come up.